WildTalkRadio.com.
I only have one thing to say. It's great to be back on Monday Night Raw!
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is my yard now.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete, a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package, when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself, always works.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Sister Abigail. It's pretty much the best way to describe it. Wait for it. Anyway. There you go. Back to the Raw Post Show. Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by Garwick.net, wrestling figure photography. Follow during the day, Instagram.com/MBG1211. Yeah, that's a thing. I'm Sorokin. That's Lindsay Ward.
Okay, we're just going to talk about it because we got to hit this first. Otherwise, it's just going to fester and it's just going to get really, really, really bad. Because, okay, so Bray Wyatt last week announced that he was going to be bringing Sister Abigail, in quotations, to TLC, and it set the internet afire.
Fire.
About, you know, what he was going to do. And he debuted the new persona, per se, or at least the new look, where his face was painted up and he was wearing gauze over his face and everything. And it was like, okay, I don't know about this. It's like, I have concerns, but I'm also really kind of interested in this because it's new, it's different, it's backstory on Bray, which we haven't gotten in a while. So it's like, hey, all right, I'll give it a shot. So tonight, we got our formal introduction to Sister Abigail. I have so many concerns and questions about this, so just to set it up, Finn comes out and talks smack on Bray. Basically, he's like, you couldn't defeat the man, you couldn't defeat the demon, which is not true. He did defeat the man the very first match. Finn kind of forgets that. But anyway, so, you know, now Bray's pretty much going for the desperation move with Sister Abigail, which intros Bray coming in via his cutscene.
Yeah.
And basically telling Finn, you know, he's brought this upon himself, and he talks a little bit more about Sister Abigail's backstory, which has me most intrigued because we finally get to learn a little bit more about her, which he kind of started to do when he first came up, and then they backed off of it. So now we kind of get a little bit more information on her, which is cool. And so Bray cuts a promo on Finn and then proceeds to introduce him to Sister Abigail. And it's like a week's worth of, you know, fears kind of culminated right here because, you know, I said it on Thursday, this could be really, really, really cool, or this could go really bad. And there's not going to be a middle ground on this one. There was not a middle ground on this one.
Excuse me.
You men are all the same. You just want to control everything. The Bray. Bray is different. Bray is special. But he has much to learn. From a young age, I taught him that the world is a very evil place. I taught him secrets. I taught him that darkness is so much stronger than the light. And I promised him that I would always be there by his side. So here I am. Scorned, scarred, and burnt to a crisp. Rising from the ashes to fulfill my promise to my little prince. My sweet, innocent Bray. He wouldn't even harm a fly. But look what you did to him. You hurt him. You lied to him. So I must punish you. And your demon. I know all about demons. Call it my specialty, if you will. I can turn a demon into a pretty little dandelion. Let me give my advice to you, Finn. You can't beat me. I'm worse than anything you've ever read in your Irish mythology books. I'm worse than anything your world has ever dreamed of. My touch could have saved you, Finn. And my kiss will burn it to the ground. Run.
This goddamn character does not win at TLC. There's something seriously wrong.
Yeah, this is pretty much, this has got to win. But, okay, so, and we'll talk about that when we preview TLC. I don't want to get into it on this show. We may talk about it more on Thursday. We'll have to see. But, okay, I'm going to start with the positive. Because there is a positive. There's actually a couple. One, the promo was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a little bit more character development on Abigail and on Bray. Which is, again, great.
Something we've been clamoring for months.
Yeah, something we've been clamoring for years, really. Ever since Bray Wyatt first kind of introduced Sister Abigail, we've been wanting to know about her, more about her. And ever since Bray Wyatt was introduced, we wanted to know more about him. So the fact that we kind of got both is really cool. It's like, I'm down for this, and I'm actually down for more of this in terms of developing their past and how this all kind of came to being. Now the negative.
Hold on. One more positive. I do like that he tied in the burnt ashes from, you know, the Randy Orton fire into the story.
Yeah. There was a lot of consistency in this with kind of what has happened over the last year to Bray and to Abigail. So that was a nice touch. You can tell he really thought it out the way that he told that story.
Yeah, hearing it back a second time, I was like, yeah, okay. It was not just something thrown together, it just had meaning behind it. Now the negative.
The voice.
Auto-tune.
It's not even auto-tune, it was just like...
Auto-tune.
I'm trying so hard, but what the hell? What the hell with the voice? Like, everything else was fine, everything else was perfect, and then that voice, just like, what? I mean, seriously, it like came out of his mouth. Like, I shouldn't even say it came out of his mouth, but they were like, he started talking, and they did the female overlay over it, and I was sitting here, and I was like, what? What? I don't know. I have hype hopes for it. Like, I'm still going to hold on to that hope that this is going to be really good. And this was just, like, a misfire. But I don't know.
Finn Balor talked about later that he knows what he has to do to get up and deal with Sister Abigail. That's the other positive. The fear in Finn Balor, he went from not fearing him to fearing Bray Wyatt.
Which is good. And I hope that more people fear Bray Wyatt after this. Because basically it's like, oh, hey, yeah, he can just go get Sister Abigail and kill you. Like, I seriously hope that's what happens. That's the result of this, is you see Bray start to make a serious challenge for a title, if not the title, but we'll have to see with that. I mean, it's a step in the right direction for Bray because it's development, it's something different. It takes him away from what he's been doing, but I don't know if it's a good step or not. I'm going to have to see him wrestle with it, because if you haven't seen it, basically he has his face all painted up white, and then he's got like ashen dark circles around his eyes, and then he's got like this piece of gauze over his face.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different, it's interesting. The voice kind of killed it for me. I'm not even going to lie. Like, the voice was, like, the first time it was like, I'm done. Nope. No. Just the voice was like, no. Which, afterwards, it led to a lot of really inappropriate jokes, but...
Which is why we open with Super Freak.
Because, honestly, I thought about it, and it's like, and I just have to say it on this show, is you... It's like, okay, so Bray Wyatt's possessed by a chick. That explains like 90% of his behavior. If y'all really think about it, and really think about Bray and how he acts, he's possessed by a chick. It explains almost everything.
Explains a lot of things, yes.
It really does, but I still kind of maintain that this would be a lot cooler if Abigail had her minions. Like, basically, Abigail had her family.
A female Luke, a female Eric.
I don't even know if they have to be female, but it's like, and the only reason I call back to that is it's like Bray, when Braun first came up, Bray said that Braun had been with Abigail, that he had been with that version of the family and not with him.
Y'all remember that, you know, she dismissed me on this Wyatt family reunion, now she wants it. Just point this out.
I never said I didn't want it, but what I told you was Beardy's son 1 and 2 are on the other show. You gotta get 2 people over to Raw, or you gotta get 2 people over to SmackDown. That's a hell of a lot harder than 1.
It's not that hard. You say you're traveling with this crew. Anyway.
In storyline... Oh, God. Oh, God.
You saw it, right?
The Darth Vader thing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm so done. Oh, my God.
The great matchup of the time and space. Star Wars trailer versus Sister Abigail debut.
Oh, Jesus Christ, this is brilliant.
They happen
by the way, Star Wars trailer was freaking lit. If y'all haven't seen it, go find it. Go watch it. It's amazing.
Now, other things that happened on Monday Night Raw included Elias Sampson beating Apollo Crews. We had Titus playing the banjo.
He tried.
An awful banjo. Jason Jordan beat Carl Anderson. Braun Strowman beat up Matt Hardy. Tell you what happened afterwards in a bit. Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher beat Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali. We had the girls backstage. They were all watching the Asuka promo and they were all wondering, I want to fight her. No, I want to fight. So Kurt makes a 5, and Alicia was crazy. I haven't had a t-shirt. She got that line on TV because, you know, she's been complaining about that on Lillian Garcia's podcast. So we had Sasha, Bayley, Emma, Alicia Fox, Dana Brooke in a 5-way elimination match. No one ever said it was elimination until it happened. Even Michael Cole didn't know what was going on. So they were all competing to fight for a shot at Asuka at TLC. Dana Brooke needs to get out of the ring. She needs to get out of the ring now. She never needs to be put back in a ring. She stinks. I've given up. She botched the body slam. A body slam. The first move you learn in training, a body slam. She botched it on Bayley. Could have re-injured Bayley. Dana Brooke needs to get out of the ring and not get back in.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Because there's no one going to... If you can't do a body slam, you don't belong in the ring. Simple as that.
Well, I'm not going to go that far because I don't know how to do a body slam. And I don't want to say she doesn't belong in the ring, but... It was not pretty.
It's the first move you learn because it's a move you have to... It's the best... Basically the way to show that you can take care of your opponent. And if you can't do it, you don't belong in the ring.
Oh, I know. I know that. But we're not wrestlers. So it's like we can't make that pronouncement.
It's my show. I can do whatever I want.
Okay, fine.
I can make any absurd comment I want. So that's what I did. Anyway, Dana was then quickly eliminated. Bayley was then eliminated next by Alicia Fox. It came down Alicia, Sasha, and Emma. Sasha made Alicia tap out. Then Emma rolled up Sasha, got the win. So it's Emma versus Asuka the way it should be because this is the first feud from NXT now on the main roster.
Yep, here it comes.
And then the match that made everyone excited. But before we get to that, the setup. So Enzo is in the ring. complaining about last week. He calls out Kurt Angle. He's upset about the match coming up at TLC. So Kurt's like, yeah, so about that, I'll give you what you want. No match at TLC. And Enzo is super excited. The matchup happens tonight. So it's Kalisto and Enzo in the main event. Oh, and by the way, it's a lumberjack match. So they went out there in the main event, and Enzo said, the only way I'll do it is if I get the main event. So we got the main event. So it was Enzo and Kalisto in the main event on Monday Night Raw. The matchup was fine. Enzo got some offense in. There was a huge suplex spot on onto the cruiserweights. Enzo almost had the win. Mustafa Ali, was it? Pulled him out? Mustafa Ali pulled him out.
Mustafa Ali took one for the team.
Mm-hmm. Then we had a Selena Del Sol from the top rope. Your winner and new cruiserweight champion, Kalisto. Because the moment he started bringing up Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero on Eddie Guerrero's birthday, you knew Kalisto was going up.
Yep.
Because you don't sort of half dedicate it to Eddie Guerrero and not actually win. So there's that.
But the evil has been defeated.
The evil has been defeated. Yes. In one manner. We had Mickey James cutting a promo talking about how age is only just a number. Alexa Bliss came back out and basically came up with a tribute, an old style black and white with old school music tribute to Mickey James with the old announcer. It was funny. We had Mickey calling Alexa a biscuit butt, challenged her to get in the ring. So Alexa goes down there and says, you know what? This is the oldest trick in the book, just as like as old as you. So she starts to leave. Mickey goes after her. They have a fight. Mickey stands tall.
This is a good segment, although I didn't know how I felt about the video, because it's like, wow, I remember when all this happened. And I felt really old for a second.
A little bit. Yeah, it was fine. It wasn't the greatest. They're just sort of, they shot the angle right away, and everything else is sort of just there at this point. I'm kind of getting sick of the age gimmick, but it is what it is. Because she's really not that old. I mean, you look at other people, it's shouldn't be making fun of her age, especially the way she looks.
Yeah, I do have a little bit of a problem with them making fun of her age, just because, like, she's in her 30s.
Yeah.
I think she and I are actually probably around the same age.
I think she's 2-3 years older.
So, I mean, to say that she's old, to say that she's decrepit, that she needs a walker and everything, yeah, I don't know about that. That's a little much.
At least it's not Piggy James.
Oh, God. Please don't ever bring that back.
At least it's not Piggy James. All right. So that's the gist of what happened there. Now let's go to the real main story of Monday Night Raw. The Mizzies returned to Miz TV. Perseverance Award went to Curtis Axel. Axel thanked Bo Dallas, who was not there tonight. They hope he gets well soon.
Poor Bo.
Best Supporting Actors went to Sheamus and Cesaro. So they came out and they did it for Roman. And then Miz won his award. A small You Deserve a Chant came out. He was the big dog of WWE. And then out came the real big dog, Roman Reigns. They were talking about there was a demise of Roman. He is there. Reigns says this is where Miz shuts up and gets out of his ring. Miz mocked the idea of Reigns facing the four of them by himself. Miz told Reigns, go to the back and get Ambrose and Rollins. He said the rumors of a Shield reunion are what Roman is. Nothing but hype. Roman goes, rumors? Who said anything about rumors? So Dean's music plays, Dean comes out. Then Seth Rollins' music plays, he comes out. And the three men...
No, the way you need to say it is, Dean Ambrose comes out, there's a very long pause between Dean and Seth, because Seth, in his typical overdramatic fashion, takes his time to walk out there. Then the three of them proceed.
So then the three of them walk to the ring, and they do the Shield, you know, stalking of the ring. They get up, they start to brawl. Miz bails. Cesaro, Sheamus, and Axel get laid out. Miz then gets surrounded, gets brought back into the ring, gets a dirty deeds, and then they set him up for the Shield bomb. And then the three men stand tall, and they fist each other in the middle of the ring, live on Monday Night Raw.
Group fisting, only on Monday Night Raw.
Because, you know, they like it raw.
They do like it raw. This was good. I thought The Miz was good. I thought Axel was good. Sheamus in them pants. Goddamn. Cesaro still has not gotten his teeth fixed. Like, the whole opening part of this was really good. I'm kind of curious to know what's actually going on with Bo Dallas. Minorly intrigued by that. That he wasn't even there, that he wasn't out there with them, that it was Axel Miz and Cesaro and Sheamus.
Probably just selling the injuries from last week.
But it's like you still could have had him out there in like a sling or something. Just saying.
They could have, but anyway.
I digress on that.
So that's part one. Go ahead.
I'm not done. Or wait, no. Go ahead, because I'll wait till you're finished before I talk about it. I had to think about it for a second. But I wasn't done!
I know you weren't done, but there's more to the story.
But wait, there's more.
So I mentioned Braun Strowman beat Matt Hardy. He broke Matt Hardy. Then he was taking Matt Hardy home for dinner. Until the Shield come out and stop him. And the Shield beat down Braun Strowman, including delivering a spear. And then they look over the table, they pull apart the table, and they Shield bomb Braun Strowman, where Omega squeeze, and break the announce table with the Shield bomb.
Out of everybody you had to sacrifice to the Shield, or you're gonna sacrifice to the Shield, you had to do Braun? Like, you spent all this time building up Braun Strowman, got him over like a mofo, and you just, like, do that to him? I mean, I get, you know, you want to put the Shield over and you want to get them super over, which they already are. I mean, that popularity's just never gonna fade. It's kind of like a DX thing. But you had to do Braun Strowman? Really? I mean, I wasn't necessarily a fan of this, because I feel like there were other people you could have done this to and it would have been equally as effective, you know?
Oh yeah, the Shield were backstage. Charlie approached them. Rollins called her Charles. They're back and better and stronger than ever. Ambrose said they will destroy everyone in their path. Whether it's 3, 4, 5, or 6 guys in their path, Reigns said they are the 3 workhorses who run this business now. And Rollins finished it up. You better believe that.
Okay. I know everybody's going super gaga about this. And this is really cool to see. You did the Shield. It's awesome. To me, and this is just me, it doesn't have the same magic.
Not yet.
But it's like just to see it, and I guess because it is so expected and everybody kind of knew it was coming, that you're just like, yay. They're back together. Woohoo. They're kicking butt. Woohoo. But it's just, to me, it's like it lacks the magic, and maybe because it's like for me, I know it's not permanent.
It also feels very forced.
A little bit. I would have liked to have seen more hesitancy on Roman's part or on Seth and Dean's part.
It's not even that. I'll go with this. Let's talk about the Strowman thing. Strowman should have been the guy they took out. He should have been the only guy they took out. Why? Because it should not be Miz, Cesaro, and Sheamus doing this bringing back the Shield thing. It should have been Braun Strowman running amok as WWE Universal Champion, and the only thing that would stop Braun Strowman is the Shield. And they come together after Braun took out Dean and Roman and Seth. Then they come together as a destructive force for injustice. This is their returning because they got mocked. And that's why it doesn't feel as good as it should. It's cool they're back together. It'll be cool when they put the vest back on and show up at TLC and come through the crowd. But they're coming together because they were mocked.
Pretty much.
And that's the problem.
Well, and plus they're still unresolved issues between Roman and Seth about the whole betrayal. Like, they never actually had the whole proper feud about the betrayal. Like, you told this really fantastic story between Dean and Seth, where Dean finally sort of, like, forgives Seth a little bit for what happened, and Seth sort of forgives himself, and the two of them come together. Well, now it's, okay, Roman's been off doing his own thing and sort of left Dean at the wayside and Seth at the wayside, and has moved on to bigger, better things. There should be some hesitancy or some bitterness from either Seth or Dean, where it's like, you know, hey, where have you been? You know, it's like all those times that Dean was getting his butt kicked and Roman never helped him, versus when Roman would be getting his butt kicked and Dean would help him, kind of thing. So it's like, I feel like they could have told the story a little bit better. I mean, I get they went it for it. I get they wanted it at TLC, and that's fine. But it's just, it's like, it's very forced. I would have really almost held the Shield off, like the actual reformation of the Shield, until the go-home of TLC.
But they had to do it in the same building. They broke. Oh. They debuted and broke up.
I know that. I get the nostalgia factor of it, but it's like you had a really, really, you could have had that really good moment where it's like you close Monday Night Raw going into TLC with the Shield standing over Miz and the Miztourage with their fists out and about in public where they all fist each other, and it's the reformation of the Shield.
So we got, the only thing left is hearing the music and the gear. That's it. That's the only thing left.
We hear the music every week.
Not, but
Roman's got it.
Sierra Hotel.
India.
Echo.
Lima.
Delta.
Shield.
Can we no. If you're going to do the Shield, do the right one.
Keep talking. I'll do the right one.
Because, I mean, that's just an intro that's easy to throw on front.
I know, but keep talking.
Roman got the music and Roman got the gear in the breakup. So it's like we hear it every week and we see the gear every week. So it's, to me, it's not going to be that big of a deal if Dean and Seth put it back on.
Shag, pump, insert, erect, lick, dick, Shield.
There it is.
Wasn't my fault. Anyway.
Hey, if you're going to do it right.
I wasn't. Anyway. So Miz, hearing those words, went to Kurt Angle and said, I want them to be men of their words. I want to find a partner. Kurt Angle's like, reluctantly says, okay, so who's his partner? This man. And then we see this awkward shot of the door and it gets busted open by Braun Strowman. And Braun Strowman's the fourth man. So it'll be Braun Strowman, Cesaro, Sheamus, and The Miz losing to The Shield at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. In a Tables, Ladders, and Chairs match.
Yes. Which, it'll be fine with.
The match will be fine. It'll be a lot of destruction. It's what we want out of Braun. He'll be able to destroy people. The Shield will get their win. It'll be fine.
Seth, honey, please don't clip your head on a table like you did that first year.
So, yeah. That's the thing. That was Raw. Again,
it had its ups, it had its downs. I mean, they're doing some experimental things right now, which I applaud. I'm not 100% sure if I like them or not, and it's like the negativity that I'm kind of voicing are my concerns about it. Because it's like Bray Wyatt, I'm intrigued, but I have a lot of questions and I have even more concerns. And it's like, there's also the Shield thing. I mean, it's like, it's cool, but to me, it doesn't quite have that nostalgia feel.
Nostalgia needs to be gone for more than 3 years.
I know. But I know plenty of people are super excited about it, and that's awesome that they are. I'm just not one of them. Because it's like, it feels kind of forced.
But here's the thing, we're not down on it. We're just not overly excited.
Yeah, it's just like, yay, the Shield!
It just feels, they're doing it in 4 weeks. The build should have been longer.
Because here's the thing, are they going to do the Shield at TLC and then they break up and that's it? Is it like the one-time thing, or are they going to actually be a faction for a while? Because if they're going to be a faction for a while, I could get behind it. But if it's only for TLC, and they're all three breaking up after that, or Dean and Seth are breaking up with Roman after that, then it's kind of like, it's hard to get excited about it, because it's kind of temporary.
And that's the big issue. But we'll talk about that another time. This has been the Raw Post Show, live across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Oh yeah, next week it's Steel Cage, Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns. Get excited. Anyway, tomorrow night, the season 1 finale of WTR Sims, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. Who will leave as the season 1 champion? Find out in the Ultimate Championship finale tomorrow night, 11:15 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. Check out the Rack Extra WWE 2K18 preview, available now at RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com. Also available on youtube.com/RackRadioShow. Make sure you subscribe to that. Follow the Twitch channel. We would appreciate it. Thursday night, it's The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Tune in where we're going to have the fallout from Hell in a Cell. We'll tell you what happened, who won, who lost, and who did something really stupid in the cell. You don't want to miss it. Plus, we've got news. We've got Tweet of the Week, SmackDown, NXT, all your favorites. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Check out The Rack Extra Total Bella Season 2, Episode 5, now available. Episode 6 will be available on Thursday. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual. We'll have The Greater Than The Great Debate. Something. I don't know what it is yet. We'll figure it out. But check out last week's episode featuring baseball players and the world premiere of The Answer, sung by Rob Parks.
Did Ryan Klesko win?
No.
He should have totally won.
He was 129. He did not make the list.
How could he not make the list?
He did not make the list.
Who won?
Babe Ruth.
Oh, of course he did.
He beat Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh, that's a travesty.
Rack Radio Show. Rack Radio Show on Facebook. We've already passed that one. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter.com. #BlameRobert when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, we'll preview tables, ladders, and chairs. We're at Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. Again, subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/RackRadioShow. Follow twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
You can follow me on Twitter at LensWard, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwardesigns.com. If you'd like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LensWard, same as the Twitters.
Gerbuck.net, wrestling figure photography. Follow the journey today, instagram.com/MBG1211. This has been the Raw Post Show, streaming live on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll see you back Thursday for the Rack and right back here for the Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. Long day, everybody's on Wild Talk Radio Network. We're here at wildtalkradio.com.
Shag, hump, insert, erect, lick, dick, shield.
WildTalkRadio.com.